appreciate the prayer. Ask your continued interest in your prayers, and not only for me, but for you as well. We might be blessed together. Tonight, we are studying Psalm 126. Psalm 126. The title I've given it is Rejoicing in and Waiting for Deliverance. This is the seventh of the Song of Degrees. The psalm would remind the pilgrims and strangers as they journeyed to Jerusalem and back three times in a year to rejoice when the Lord delivers from captivity and to patiently wait for their needed deliverance. The Lord's love and watch care over his people is always provided in the way that is best. We'll pause right there. Is that a true statement? He always provides what is best. If we're ever tempted to question God, we're questioning his wisdom and his ability to provide. And so whatever the trial might be, we need to remember he always provides what is best. So today, our daily responsibility is to trust that the Lord knows what is best and that he will provide for his people as it seems good in his sight. No doubt, this way of life has brought much peace and joy to the minds of God's people over the years. Many people have trod this way before us. Aren't you thankful for the faithfulness of those who've gone before us? Well, as they have gone before us, it's now our turn to be faithful and to follow in that way, so that those coming behind us can be thankful for whatever we might have been able to do as we traveled this way. Do we feel that responsibility every day? It's our turn. We need the Lord's help to help us. We certainly want the church to be in as good a shape as we found it, don't we? And if we're faithful and loving the Lord and doing what we can in his service and being a positive influence in the kingdom, who knows what he would bless? So it's our turn as we go through this life. There have been challenges in the past. There'll be challenges today. There'll be challenges tomorrow. But God's able to bless, isn't he? All right, verse 1. A Song of Degrees. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It was common for Israel to face threats of captivity from their enemies. From time to time, they had to endure areas or cities being captured by neighboring foes. Thus, kings would rise up and retake them when they could. So they were accustomed to these struggles. But for us today, the captivity that threatens us is usually found in some problem or situation that we're facing. Now, I'm thankful that we don't have to live in a culture like Israel did, where there were enemies that would come just from time to time and invade. But we do have struggles, don't we? We do have trials. We do have burdens. We've got the same Lord. Thankfully, the same God who delivered Israel in many battles is our God today, who can deliver us from any foe. Is that a true statement? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Not if it's his will to do it. Not if it doesn't violate his holy character. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Whatever we're facing, he can handle. He knows all about it. We don't have to acquaint him with anything, do we? Aren't you glad? I mean, sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. As we knelt down beside the bed of Sister Marion Wells last night before we left the hospital and tried to pray, and they've been to doctor after doctor after doctor, and the doctors haven't figured it out. I guess that's why they call it practicing medicine. But they haven't figured it out. I don't know what to ask for except, Lord, help in that way which you know is best. And sometimes we have to pray like that, don't we? And aren't you glad that he doesn't limit his blessings to what we are able to ask for? He gives us far more because we don't even think about most of his blessings. Do you know that? All right. So thankfully, same God that delivered them is there for us today. And so whether we're speaking of a city regaining its freedom or whether the Lord has shown mercy in delivering us from a difficult situation, the blessing has the same effect. At first, we feel like it's a dream. Have you ever had such a blessing that you just had to pinch yourself to wonder if it was right? If is it really real? Sometimes we have those blessings, don't we? Thankfully. It happens. Now just think about one of the best blessings you've ever had in your life and how you felt. Maybe you saw it coming. Maybe you didn't. Maybe it was just something that happened. And you were just, wow. That's what he's talking about. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Is it real? Would God really bless us in such a measure? The child of God in his right mind, now notice that now, sometimes we're not thinking clearly. Sometimes the Bible word is soberly. Sometimes we're not thinking soberly. But when we're in our right mind, when we're thinking clearly and soberly, the child of God in his right mind recognizes that he's not worthy of such, but has to pause and consider what's happening. Is it a dream, or is it really and truly happening? That's how he introduces this psalm. They were like them that dreamed. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. You know, before we get to the notes here, something else came to mind. You remember Rahab? When the children of Israel came up to Jericho, do you remember what she said? They heard. They heard what the Lord had done for them. And she said, our hearts did melt. They heard how the Lord delivered them out of Egypt. They heard of the great works of God. You might not think about the enemies of God talking about his great works, but it's a different kind of speech. It's a different conversation that they're having, isn't it? But Rahab said they heard. And there are other places in the Bible where the enemies of God's people heard. Remember Gideon? And how when Gideon was fearful to go and do what the Lord told him, the Lord sent him over there to spy on them, and he overheard that conversation between those. I won't take the time to get into that, but several places in the Scriptures you'll find that the word got out. All right, so he's saying, then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Now, if the Lord has blessed you, say so. Talk about it. Speak of the mercy of God, the goodness of God. It's going to bring glory to his name. That's what we're here for anyway, isn't it? As a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't we here to glorify God? That's our first responsibility as a disciple of Jesus, to bring honor and glory to him. It's the first responsibility of the church, to glorify God. All right? So if he's blessed you, say so. You don't need anybody to tell you to rejoice about it. It just comes gushing out, doesn't it? If the Lord's blessed you, I mean, we don't need any help there. It's the Spirit just coming forth with a reaction here. So experience the joy and gladness of God showing you His love and mercy. We need to rejoice in those times, don't we? When God's been merciful to us, when He's blessed us in some particular way, we need to enjoy that. Because life's not always that way, is it? So hills and valleys, isn't it? Mixtures of joy and sorrow. So when the Lord's blessing you, then enjoy it. Rejoice in it. These are tokens of His affection. Let me pause right there. You understand what I mean by tokens of affection? There's just little things that happen. Sometimes they're big things. But it can be just little things that happen from time to time that remind us the Lord's watching over us. He's blessed us one more time. I tell you, it's those tokens of affection that give us assurance that we're a child of God. There are going to be plenty of other times that's going to cause us to doubt and fear. But enjoy the good times. Enjoy those tokens of affection the Lord gives us. They add joy to living and quality of life. It's hard to get ahead, not to get ahead of myself sometimes. Just as the pilgrims traveled, the pilgrim travelers were then encouraged to remember and share all their joyful experiences of deliverance, so we should reflect on and share ours today. Don't you enjoy somebody telling you how the Lord's blessed them? Now, I get real weary awfully quick when somebody's telling me how much they've done for the Lord. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? But I can listen all day long to what the Lord's done for us. It's all the difference in the world, isn't it? It's placing the glory where it ought to be. Giving glory to Him. We should call to remembrance how great things the Lord hath done for us. We should rejoice in them. We should speak of them to friends and strangers alike. Who knows what encouragement that might be to some around us? Have you ever been encouraged by somebody else's faithfulness? Maybe in the workplace, maybe in the grocery store, maybe in a situation where you thought was going to be unpleasant and it turned out that here was a godly person that's going to do what's right. And it can be encouraging, can't it? Well, don't let it be on somebody else all the time that does that. We need to be that way, don't we? That's the way we need to live our lives. We need to be a positive influence on others. We need to be encouragers for others. If God has blessed us to know something about His love, if God has blessed us with things that we can talk about and talk about how the Lord has blessed us, then we could, you just might be encouraging somebody that needs it. Sometimes we do. Sometimes somebody might be straying a little bit, and it might just be the very thing that would turn them back and get them to thinking. Be an encourager. Speak about how the Lord has done great things for us. We should speak of them to friends and strangers alike. Who knows what encouragement might be to someone around us. They may have had similar experiences that they wanted to tell but didn't. Have you ever been bashful to speak of the goodness and mercy of God? Have you ever withheld something that could have been glorifying to the Lord, but you just chose not to say anything? We need to be encouragers. And the more God's people speak of the blessings they have received, the more the heathens will hear about it, and they may speak of them as well. I'm using that word italicized, kind of comparing what Israel had with those nations around about them. But unfortunately, we've got folks in and amongst us in our culture, they don't care for the things of the Lord, or at least it doesn't appear to. But as we've said many times in going through these Psalms and coming to a thought like this, don't judge folks' heart. It's not our choice as to whether they're a child of God or not. They may not be bearing much fruit right now, but the Lord may visit them any day. You never know. And so we're to love our enemies. We're to do good unto others that might not treat us as well. We've done our job. We've done our duty to follow the word of the Lord and leave the consequences to Him. And if these heathen, that is, if they speak negatively, God's blessings are being mentioned among them. So however they're speaking about it, they're speaking about God's works. And it just might be that one of God's children among them might be emboldened to follow more closely to the Lord and seek out a home among His chosen people. You know, who would have thought that the spies that were sent over to Jericho would find somebody like Rahab? I'm sure they were surprised. You know, in my mind, I'm sure, you know, maybe they knew something I didn't. But Rahab, do you remember what happened to Rahab in the end, by the way? She joined up with the children of Israel, didn't she? As a matter of fact, she's in the lineage of Christ, isn't she? The natural lineage? Rahab? Yeah. Okay. Verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now, he said that pretty much in the verse ahead of that, but then he talked about how that it had an effect upon the heathens. But he's drawing the attention in verse 3 to us, to God's people. The psalmist repeats the thought, so pay particular attention here. Right? If we find something repeated in Scripture, it's not there to take up space, is it? It's to get your attention. Maybe you didn't catch it the first time. That happens, doesn't it? Oh, I know it doesn't happen very often, but it can happen. So pay particular attention here. As disciples of our blessed Lord, this is the kind of activity that gives glory to His holy name. That is for us to be glad and to rejoice in what great things that He's done for us. All right? We're blessed to know the only true and living God who hath done great things for us. And the more we think on these things, the more joy and gladness we will have in ourselves, and the more of it we'll have to share with others. We do understand that if you think on bad things, on negative things, being critical, you're going to be miserable. And you're going to make everybody around you miserable. But if you think on good things, think on the great things the Lord had done for us, I tell you, that adds joy. Because it brings to mind all kinds of ideas about how we're not worthy, that He should bless us, but He has. How He saved us from death, how He redeemed us from our sins, how heaven will be our home because of what Jesus has done for us. It just brings to mind all those good things and great things that God has done for us. So attitude's important, isn't it? It's tremendously important. And it's a choice. We could choose to be happy. Now, I'm not saying that's going to totally change your circumstances, but it'll sure help you deal with them. All right? So, There's no reason for Christians to feel sad and defeated. I'm not saying you'll always be happy. I'm saying there's always something in the Lord to rejoice about. I suppose we've said that 100 times as we've been going through the Psalms, maybe more. But there's always, because He doesn't change, what He's done for us is done forever. We can never be separated from His love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's always something in which we can rejoice in the Lord. I didn't put it in the notes, but I ran out of space on that page, and I could have gone longer, but what kind of a witness are we providing to others if we mope around and look sad all the time when we have the knowledge of salvation by the grace of God? If we have a good understanding of what God has done for us, why should we mope around and be sad all the time? I'm not saying that it's going to make all your circumstances good, but I am saying it will help us tremendously to rejoice in the Lord. I don't know how many times I've gone to try to visit someone thinking I might try to spread a little cheer or encourage them or whatever, and many, many, many times I've gone away being the one that was cheered, being the one that was encouraged, because of the wonderful blessing that I received in seeing a good, godly attitude and a wonderful disposition in somebody that was so thankful for every blessing they had, even though they were in terrible condition. Makes a difference. And what kind of a witness are we showing others by the life we're living? Verse 4. He began by talking about the joy and the gladness when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. But evidently, they are facing more problems. And that's the way life is, isn't it? Hills and valleys. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop, sometimes we're not. Okay? So, verse 4, he says, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." So evidently, whether they're facing it or whether they realize that they're going to face it again, this prayer is lifted up to God, because He's the one that's our help, isn't He? He's the only one that can help us at all times. I'm thankful for friends, thankful for families. I'm thankful for good brethren and sisters in Christ. Sometimes they can be a great help. Sometimes they can be a great encouragement. Sometimes they can really do a lot of good things for us. But sometimes they're just not able to help. But the Lord is. But the Lord is. He's able. And so the psalmist says, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south." The reality of life is that there are times when we face some type of captivity. Thankfully, for the most part, we have not had to face warring nations taking over our cities and lands. I'm thankful for that. But I'm afraid our generation has already seen some changes. Maybe not so much from without, but within our nation. Things are really changing. Politically, a lot of things are starting to be imposed upon us. We're starting to see a lot of changes. We were warned about it. We're starting to see it. I'm not a doomsdayer, I'm a realist. If you've been looking, you've been seeing it coming for a while. And it didn't just start with this president. But what I'm saying is, captivity comes in a lot of forms. And only the Lord is able to deliver us from them all. And if this nation doesn't look to Him and Him alone for our deliverance, there is no hope for this nation. Now, there's always hope for God's people. There's always hope for His people. But nations rise and fall. And this nation is on the decline. I'm not saying it's out, but it's on the decline, isn't it? You have to see that. All right? So, we haven't had to face enemies coming in and overthrowing, but we're starting to see some things. And I pray that it's starting to cause God's people to get more earnest about their praying in this nation. We've been talking about it for a long time, but I hope we're starting to do something about it. All right, so the greatest encouragement for us in those difficult times, is to be diligent in prayers. You believe that? Effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Much. Do we believe that? Brings to mind that man that three of us went to the hospital and prayed for. And when I say this, don't think I'm trying to claim anything. God's the only one that can bless. But that man went home from the hospital the other day. I mean, he went from the hospital just a couple of days after that. He went to from long-term care because he was not getting any better. And he went to long-term care, then rehab, and then he went home. I tell you, God is good. God is good. Prayer is what we need as a people. We know about prayer, don't we? We know lots about prayer. Why, we can say what we call the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. We can say that by heart, can't we? But are our prayers effectual? Are our prayers fervent? Are we fervent in our prayers? Remember my favorite quote by George Washington? He said there were times when he realized that he had to repent even of his prayers. I've had to feel that way myself sometimes. We need it so much. So the greatest encouragement in those times is to be diligent in prayers and to recall past deliverances. Isn't that an encouragement? Doesn't that strengthen us to look back and see, well, I faced this one time and God was there and He delivered. And I know He's able to do it again. Okay? Now, evidently, the streams in the south had reference to times when the waters flowed only because God had blessed with either an abundance of rain or the melting snow. You ever seen places like that where sometimes it was a dry bed? Other times it'd be a flowing stream. I learned something about that when we lived in Texas for a little while. I went down to the Guadalupe River at Guadalupe State Park. And there's this little stream running there, and 20 feet up in the trees along the edge of that stream, there was driftwood. I got back to work Monday morning, and I asked some of them that worked there, that lived there for a while, and they told me what year, when they had a lot of rain. And that stream became a raging river that just about washed out the bridge, and that bridge was way up above the water. So there's lots of reasons why that happens in Texas, but no doubt that Texas is not the only place that happens. And so when God blesses with an abundance of rain or perhaps the melting snows, then there are places that are well watered. That only happens when God blesses in abundance. And he's saying in this verse, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. In other words, when we see the abundant blessings of the Lord, then we can start rejoicing and glorifying his name. That's where we need to be, because he has abundantly blessed us. So without these blessings, those places would be in great need. So also for us, without the Lord's help, we would perish. Plain and simple. We'd perish without the sustaining grace of our God. And so we look to God, pray to him, seek his counsel, and wait. Now, I could have left that one off, couldn't I? We don't want to do that, do we? We are an instant gratification society, throwaway society. We don't want to wait. But sometimes the Lord says, wait. Is it good for you? If he says to, it must be good for you. Because he knows what's best. So sometimes we have to wait. And when it pleases him to deliver us, then we can rejoice in those great things he has done. I dare say you learn many more lessons in waiting on the Lord than rushing ahead on your own. Have you ever had a trial? I'm straying from the notes here, but have you ever had a trial that you had to scratch your head and say, you know, I've had to deal with this before. And maybe it was some of your own doing. Sometimes we just are slow about learning something, aren't we? Maybe we didn't wait. Maybe we didn't meditate upon something. Maybe the Lord was telling us something and we didn't stand still long enough to get the whole message. You know, we rushed off to thought we knew what to do. Sometimes we need to wait. Verse 5, they that sow in tears shall, would you like that word? I knew. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Have you ever sown in tears? Have you ever had to continue going on, but it was tearfully, in sorrow, but you had to keep going? Some people have terrible burdens all their lives. Some people have had struggles for their entire lifetime. Have any of you seen some of the emails or the videos, the YouTube videos or whatever, about this man? I've forgotten his name, but I know some of you have sent it to me, and I've watched it, and I've gotten it from several sources, but this man has traveled the world. He has no arms and no legs. But he can do tremendous things. It is just amazing. I'm kind of like David Ring then, when I look at that, and I say, well, what's my problem? What's our problem? We are so blessed. But some people have terrible affliction. And that man has battled thoughts of suicide many, many times. And the Lord blessed him. All right? So they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Here's a real test of our faith. How do we handle tough times? How do we handle life when problems hold us captive? How do you handle it? Do we murmur and complain? Well, we have. Maybe more than we should. Maybe a lot more than we should. Okay, we have. Murmuring and complaining. What did that accomplish? You know, it probably grieves you if you go back to the Old Testament and you read all those times that Israel murmured and complained. Well, how often have we done it? People are not that different today than they were then. So do we murmur and complain, or do we trust God? Are we bitter with a critical spirit, or do we humble ourselves and trust God? To a great extent, it's a choice, isn't it? There are some things you have a free will about. There's some choices that we can make. You know, when you're tired, when you're not feeling well, it's real easy to murmur and complain, to get negative, criticize. We have to guard ourselves against that, don't we? All right? So how do we handle things when life is tough? Do we complain and murmur, or do we trust God? Are we bitter with a critical spirit? Do we humble ourselves and trust God? The choices you make in those times determine your joy and impacts the joys of those around you. Now, here's something else. You have choices about how you feel, and unfortunately, those choices not only affect you, but those that are close to you. So you have to imagine, you have to think, well, okay, I have a right to feel the way I want to. Well, yeah, but it's not right to put folks close to you through so much. You don't have that right, do you? If you're negative and whatever, you know, folks not going to want to be around you, are they? As a matter of fact, you know, as a Christian, we should remember to bear fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit does not contain any of those things of grumbling and complaining and being critical and all those kind of things. That's just not there. So that's a fleshly inclination, and you're following after the flesh when you give in to those things. And so we need to remember whose child we are. When we commit our problems to the Lord and wholly rely upon His help and guidance, then we can find peace and strength for our day. Doesn't that make for a much better day? Now, you may encounter some of those folks that don't feel the same way, but just give them a smile. Just be cheerful yourself, and you can go on your way, rejoicing. And when the trials are sore and they bring us to tears, and sometimes life is that way, isn't it? When the trials are sore, when they bring us to tears, as we're trusting in Him, don't think that a single tear is wasted or unnoticed. Now you think about that for a second. God sees and He knows. I'm so glad we don't have to acquaint God with how we feel, with the problems we're facing, with what we need. We don't have to. He already knows. And quite often, He's already working for our good and providing something before we even realize it. Before we even have sense enough to ask for the help, There's times when God's already helping. You know, there's been times that I've seen great blessings in my life and realized after it was all over and I had time to think about it, you know, I was rejoicing that God intervened and helped, but then I had to realize, wait a minute, for that to happen, he had to start a long time ago. We have a wonderful, a great, and powerful God who sees and who knows, and he never misses a tear. It's never wasted. It's never unnoticed. Remember what Jesus said of the widow who repeatedly cried to that unjust judge? Luke 18. She said, "Avenge me of mine adversary." You know, the unjust judge was finally wearied with that, wasn't he? And he said, "Though I fear not God, yet lest she weary me with her continual coming, he avenged her." All right? Now, God's not acting, or he's not operating that way. He loves us, and he will provide for us. But it does please him for us to continue to come to him and ask. I mean, I just don't really go for that. Some people say just ask and forget about it. There's too many places in Scripture that tells us to continue to ask. All right. So, what Jesus said after he gave that illustration of that widow, he says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" Sometimes he bears long, doesn't he, before he delivers. That was Luke 18, verse 7. If God has blessed you to know him, then you need to put your trust in the one who's able to do exceeding, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Don't you love that verse? He's not just able to do what we ask or think. He's not just able to abundantly do what we ask or think. But he's able to do exceeding, abundantly above all that we ask or think. We have a great God. Then wait patiently for his further instructions. We don't even want to read the instructions, much less wait for more. But we walk by faith, don't we? Not by sight. He may grant your request. He may withhold answering for your good. Maybe you're not ready for the answer. Maybe you need to grow in some areas before you can handle the answer. He may even do something you hadn't even considered that would be far better than you had imagined. Can God do that? He's done it for me. He can do it for you. So regardless of the type of deliverance the Lord grants, the promise is a joyful harvest when we've trusted him, sought his counsel, followed it, and patiently waited for it. God is good. All right, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Notice how the psalmist equates weeping tears of sorrow with bearing precious seed. You know, you may have felt like you were in the depths of despair. in weeping those tears of sorrow. But if it's godly sorrow, the Lord says that's bearing precious seed. Wow. Have you ever thought of it that way? That tears of sorrow, if it's godly sorrow, when I say godly sorrow, what I mean is we're sorrowing, but we're trusting God. I mean, what we're dealing with may not have anything to do with principles of godliness, but if we're approaching it and handling the situation in a godly way, trusting God for whatever He'd be pleased to give in the way of deliverance, those tears, He says, are you're bearing precious seed. This can deepen our understanding of the principle of sowing and reaping. You know, generally we think of sowing and reaping. Well, if you sow a certain thing, you're going to reap in kind. Well, you are, but we have to understand what the principle is here that we're going to sow and what we're going to reap. Because sowing and reaping is still valid. It's inescapable. But what are we sowing? He says we're sowing precious seed. That may be something that's an anguish of heart. But if it's done while trusting God for whatever He pleases to do about the matter, you're going to get a wonderful harvest. That's God's promise. All right? So that is, though the trials are sore, yet, let's see. Let me back up a little bit. All right, this can deepen our understanding of the principle of sowing and reaping. Rather than reaping more tears from our deep sorrows, the Lord gives us a very precious promise. Those tears are not in vain. And the promise is, he that goeth forth. We're not sitting and wallowing in our pity. Okay? We're going forth. We're going ahead with life, trusting God, waiting on Him to deliver. He that goeth forth, and the promise is, to he that goeth forth bearing precious seed. Going forth in a way of continuing to trust God. That is, though the trials are sore, yet they go forth with their life, trusting that the Lord will deliver in His time. That trust is not wasted. God is always faithful to provide for His own. And because He is gracious, His blessings will be more than we need. Isn't that the way God blesses? I've found that to be the case. He says they shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Doubtless. In other words, God sees those tears. He knows how they're being shed. And in His time, He's going to bless that situation. So hang in there. Continue to trust. When we have sown and watered with tears of godly sorrow, we will bring forth fruits of godliness, joy, peace, and a heightened sense of God's love for us. Has that been your experience when you felt like the Lord's delivered you from something? When some problem has been solved or you've been blessed in a particular way, don't you just feel the love of God? I tell you, you need to rejoice in that. And it will be evident that we're bringing those sheaves with us because it will be seen in our rejoicing. All right. More than once in this psalm, he's talked about the need for us to speak of how great things God has done for us. And when He blessed us with that deliverance, then we need to bring forth some rejoicing. All right? So as we face those captivities in our life, may we go forth remembering God's mercy in our past, trusting Him for future needs, and telling forth His goodness. What's that verse that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so? We need to be saying so, don't we? Speaking of His goodness and mercy. It'll be a blessing to you because it'll continue to strengthen you and strengthen your memory of what God has done. And it can be a blessing to everybody around us as well. All right. Someone have a number to close with?